Exclusive Radio.
Ah, it's one of them there pre-rolls. The Cheers to Comics podcast is proudly brought to you by Inked Marketing, and the Inked Marketing crowdfunded comic for this here episode is Nippin. It's a samurai story set in the 16th century. This period was almost a turning point for Japan, as the empire now lost its former power and the shoguns, the Japanese representative of feudalism, began to replace it. Our main character, Shinji, witnesses the capture of his own town while the shoguns take over the regions as they wish. From this moment on, the deep story begins in which Shinji and Japan will take shape. Nippin offers more than just a samurai story. It reflects the magnificent beauty of Japanese culture to the reader in a refreshing way. Also, political games, epic wars, family drama, love, and lots of adventures to be experienced are waiting for you. So, looking for something from across the pond? Actually, this book's out of Germany, too. Fun. You still have a few days left to back this book on Kickstarter. Search Nippin, N-I-P-P-O-N, on Kickstarter and back this project now. Proudly brought to you by Inked Marketing and NSC Live. Well, hello again and welcome back to the Cheers to Comics podcast. I'm your host, Brian Wayne, and this is episode 295. The 295th episode of the Cheers to Comics podcast will be a creator corner, and the creator that I cornered today on this here episode is a return guest, Gabe Chang. You know Gabe Chang, he did For Molly. I talked about For Molly with him. Good stuff, man, good stuff. So he did a spinoff book that is now live on Kickstarter. It's a short campaign, so do not sleep on this one. But he's going to come on, we're going to talk all about it. We did. Now, it's your turn to listen. So here you go, returning for a second time. That means you know he's good, Gabe Chang. All right, Gabe Chang, welcome back. How are you, man?
Doing good. Glad to be here.
Awesome. I know that, you know, it's a... I was actually looking through to see how long ago you were on the podcast, and you were episode 183. This is going to be close to episode 300, I think.
Wow.
By the time this comes out. So
been busy.
I've been a busy guy, but it's also been a while too. I mean, I didn't put out 130 episodes in a few days. You know, it's we've both been busy fellows. That's for sure.
It was during my For Molly Kickstarter campaign, I believe, which would have been in April or May of last year.
I have For Molly sitting right here next to me, and I gotta say, this book turned out beautifully, dude.
Thank you.
Very, very, very well done. I mean, Marvel should take some notes on how to produce a quality comic book. I mean, it's just you went above and beyond. It's awesome.
Well, thank you very much. I mean, obviously all the credit for the art goes to Ben Sawyer, my artist that I collaborate with. He's just amazing. And I feel like we just this week started up on chapter 4, getting the pages ready for what is going to be the closing chapter of the Kickstarter. And I just think that like his work has just gotten so much better. Not that it wasn't great in issue 1 of For Molly, but it's just gotten so much better. As we've been going, it's really been a pleasure to watch him not just work, but improve and grow, and to do it with the story that I came up with is a great honor.
Yeah, I mean, I see it for myself here, just the growth in the art, and I mean in the storytelling as well. I mean, as one would only expect, one gets better every issue, and it shows on all levels of creativity here, man. So I'm. This is awesome to have in my collection. I
thank you so much.
Absolutely.
I look back on that For Molly chapter 1, and it was the first comic that I'd ever done, that I ever self-published, the first Kickstarter I'd ever done. I look back on it and I'm like, oh man, like so many mistakes. Like not with Ben's art, but I'm like, oh, why did I, the main thing is it's like, why did I take so long to get the story started? Like But I mean, that's a good thing. It's honestly, I'm phrasing it like it's a negative thing, but I've been thinking about it a lot because it's like, okay, like you're supposed to be improving. Like if I were to look back 3 years ago and the best thing I'd ever written was 3 years ago, and I've done a bunch of short stories since then, and you know, I'm finishing off Four Molly, then that'd be pretty sad if it was like, oh, I'm not improving. Like the point is to be improving, and that's what I feel like I'm doing. So, and I mean, the good thing about it is that when we get started on For Molly Chapter 4, Ben and I have already discussed about things that we want to potentially go back and change, which might mean me making some narrative edits as well, as not just the changes that he wants to make with the art.
Talking about a For Molly remastered edition?
Yeah, a deluxe For Molly, maybe hardcover, you know, pricing, prohibitive to pricing. But yeah, there's going to be, when I do the Chapter 4 Kickstarter, which is going to be this summer, there's going to be a deluxe trade paperback version of For Molly coming out as part of those rewards.
That's awesome, man. Talking about the growth of, you know, creating comics and all that, as you find yourself and recognize yourself growing as a writer and an artist, do you find yourself just allowing things to be, I don't want to say just allowing things to be easier, because allowing things to be easier increases productivity rates. So I don't want to phrase it like it's a negative thing, but do you allow things to, you know, say, all right, cool, I'm getting faster at this, we could produce more? Or do you set higher, harder, more challenging goals for yourself to say, all right, you know, I've conquered this, I could do this now, let's see if I could do this now? I mean, as a new creator, how do you find yourself working around this this type of obstacle?
Oh, that's a really good question. I think that for me personally, there is an element of like, okay, I've done this before, so that's going to be easy. Like, I think that not just in the world of comics, but really with anything, whether it's at my day job or in my personal life, it's okay, I've done this before. It's not going to be that hard. You know, the last time I did it, I survived. I didn't get, you know, hit by a rock or have an anvil fall on my head or something. Like, you know, so once I get that kind of experience of like, okay, I know what it's like to hire an artist. It's easier for me to hire an artist. I know what it's like to start working with a new person and to put together a reference kind of Bible of images and description of what I want as far as a character design or page design or cover design. I know how to do that. I know how to set up a Kickstarter. I know what it's going to take to shoot, or go back and, you know, to write, edit, and shoot a Kickstarter video. All that stuff feels easier. So there's a little bit of relief coming from those areas. But as far as like, you know, I still am challenging myself to do things better. I'm challenging myself to reach out to more, reaching out through more avenues of promotion, find different ways to do marketing, and try to make the overall product better and you know, getting back to kind of the original nuts and bolts of your question, trying to make the story better and trying to make the way that I sit down and write better, because I recognize that I'm kind of a slow writer. I take a while to do a script, and now that I've kind of know that, it's like, okay, where can I improve on that? How can I improve my habits in order to make that better? And not try to force it, yeah. Not try to do it all at once, try to do it incrementally. But yeah, so I think that there are things that are definitely getting easier, and it's not so much like, oh, well, that's easy, I'll just take it easy on that. But it's like, okay, I know what it's like to start up a new chapter with Ben, which is what I'm doing this week. Like I said, like, that's not something I'm gonna have a bunch of anxiety about and be sweating as like, okay, like, am I gonna be worried about how I phrase my emails to him or whatever. It's all just like, okay, that kind of thing is in the bag. So what is the next challenge? What is the next thing that I need to improve on?
That's awesome. And it's nice to know that, you know, you recognize that you do kind of have to go every route in that question. I mean, when I went, to answer that question, in order to really be a grounded, well-rounded artist. Because yes, you can be somebody that's super fast and is able to put out as much stuff as possible, and you're solid. People know what to expect from you every time. Those type of people exist, and they're very successful. But then there's also people that always, you know, it's like, you know, I'm gonna try something new and use the knowledge I do have, you know, and then maybe just, like I said, take it to the, you know, next level and see where that takes me. You know, will it be received well? I don't know. Will I be able to conquer that goal? I don't know. But just knowing that you're striving for it and attempting, you know, I'm going to use the term next level again. I think it's important as a creator. I really do, especially as a younger creator.
Yeah, I'm trying to stay in my lane. You know, I'm trying to focus on what I feel like I can accomplish at this moment. And that kind of gets into the reason why I'm on the show, because I'm kind of pivoting to doing short story comics, short story one shots, because I feel like that's where I can be right now as far as getting a lot of stuff done, doing smaller Kickstarters multiple times in a year, as opposed to doing one big Kickstarter once a year.
Mm-hmm.
And grow the audience that way. And if I'm the type of person that at this moment, I have an audience that can support a $3,000 or $4,000 Kickstarter, then I should be doing that. I shouldn't be trying to do $15,000 Kickstarters. I shouldn't be trying to do $20,000 Kickstarters. I should just be kind of going to war with the army that I have, not the army that I want. And then eventually those things will grow over time, and I'll get better and I'll improve and I'll find different avenues that work, and, you know, experiment with things that don't work and level up, like you said.
Awesome, man. Well, you said For Molly is the fourth chapter is the completion to this?
Yeah.
Awesome. Awesome. Well, I'm anxious to, man, I am anxious to see this wrap up. But it's kind of one of those bittersweet things, you know. You want to see how it ends, but you don't want it to end.
Yeah.
You have this thing now where you realized, okay, I might have created a little bit of a universe here. you have this one shot spinning off Into the Wilderness that you're on here to promote now. So For Molly, just because it's ending doesn't necessarily mean it has to end. And I love that you have created this universe from it, and very contained at the same time.
Yeah, thank you. I'm very excited to return to the New Jersey Forest, because the For Molly takes place in the New Jersey Forest. It's about an antisocial talking dog who lives in the New Jersey Forest alone. She helps a recently divorced outsider rescue his sister from a hidden evil. And yeah, it's fun to go back. Ben is an incredible artist. He's the artist on For Molly, but I have another artist that I'm working with, and I get to see what her take on the New Jersey Forest is, and that's been incredible too. And it's been fun to explore different parts of the world and focus a little bit more on some side characters that I really, really liked.
Yeah, well, I like the character that you chose for this one shot particularly. He's just a badass. I get like a Walking Dead type of vibe out of him. Like, he would be somebody, if he were a part of the Walking Dead cast, he would still be alive, you know? Just, and that's saying something, you know? I mean,
yeah.
Like, I get that type of vibe out of him. Like, he's here to just be here, and he'll accept nothing else. But at the same time, do things to put himself in danger for the sake of others. I don't know. It's like the karma is constantly paying him back in. I don't know. It's a beautiful thing. I'm not gonna give anything away here, obviously, but it's a beautiful thing. I want to talk about your artist real quick, though. You said that you had already gone through, you know, the process of finding a new artist. What was it like finding Eliza? And I'm gonna probably butcher the last name, Menegal.
Meneghel, and it's Elisa Meneghel.
Elisa, I butchered the first name. Elisa Meneghel. All right, gotcha. Talk about the process of finding her for any new creators out there listening.
I found her in the same way that I found Ben, my other artist on Formali, and that is through Upwork, which is a freelancer website. I put up a posting up there just saying, hey, I'm looking for an artist for a comic book in this price range. And there are artists on there that responded to the listing. And I got a bunch of really, really cool artists. But there's just something about Elisa's style and some of the samples that she sent me that really, really spoke to me, that I think fit really well for the first short story comic that I did with her, which is called Love at First Bite. And so I've been working with her for a little bit under a year now, and I've just been so pleased with not only the work that she produces, but her work ethic and the way that she works and the way that she collaborates. She's just absolutely amazing.
I like her interpretation of Schneider, right? Schneider?
Yeah, yes. I like the main character, yeah.
Yeah, I like her interpretation of Schneider a bit, quite a bit. And, you know, of this universe, you know, it's not the same art style in any way, shape, or form, but it's also, I can't say that it doesn't belong either. And the...
thank you. I appreciate that.
It's great, man. It's fun. Like, this is, you could almost tell that it was meant to, like this art style says this is a one shot in a universe that already exists. To me, I don't know. It's as I was reading this, I honestly didn't realize that this was spun off from Formali until I went through and I read the Kickstarter campaign and all of that. I was like, oh shit. This guy really likes talking dogs. No, then
well, that's good news.
But then, boom! I just couldn't help. I was like, I can't wait to ask this guy. You know, there's no way that this isn't from Formali. It just feels like it's from Formali. And then, you know, even with it being, like I said, such a different art style, she did a great job of keeping it in that feel of this world. So, yeah.
I really appreciate you saying that. I mean, I think that there haven't been that many people that have read it because obviously I haven't started distributing yet through the Kickstarter. But I really appreciate that you're saying that it works as a standalone, that even though you recognized it as being part of Formali, that you don't necessarily need to have read that, or at least I hope that's what you're saying, because I hope that
that's
like
exactly what I'm saying.
Well, yeah, well, thank you very much for saying that. I mean, that's a huge load off my mind, because I really want it to be accessible to people that haven't read Formali, and so I'm glad I did that. And of course I'm going to get those people that are like, why can the dogs talk? I don't get it. And then like read Formali, and then I don't give an explanation in there either. So I'm a little bit worried about that reaction, but at the same time, it's fine. I think that it's the story speaks for itself without having me going and explaining, you know, where midichlorians come from and opening every mystery box.
To ask why can the dog talk is like shitting on every single childhood thing that we could ever love. I mean, from Disney to Homeward Bound and all that. Why can the dogs talk? Because it's fucking cooler when they do. That's why. Duh. Dr. Doolittle.
That's what I feel.
That's how you get a story. Like, it'd be really weird if the guy was just talking to a dog. I mean, that's silly.
Or if he was doing the voice of the dog himself, like Kristoff in Frozen, which I kind of bump against in that movie. but yeah, my brother, who I do a podcast with, is very I do poke fun at him, but I understand that there are a lot of people out there that really enjoy literature like science fiction and fantasy that is all about world building, that is essentially like explaining what's going on in a new and fantastic or futuristic society, and you know, things like Foundation, where it's all about how a society changes under certain circumstances and how it improves or devolves over time. And so I understand that there's an audience for that kind of thing, but I'm not the type of reader that enjoys like reading page after page of world building. And so I don't really include it in my writing. So I don't want to disparage people like that, but please don't expect that from either For Molly or Into the Wilderness, because you will be left wanting.
No, I respect the hell out of that, actually, because I feel everybody wants to be the next Jonathan Hickman. And not, I mean, what about the people that don't read Jonathan Hickman? You know, I mean, that's me. I don't really read Jonathan Hickman. So, right. I like my, you know, just, hey, can we just get a 4-issue, 5-issue story arc? And I don't know. I'm right there with you. Now, this is the type of storytelling that I'm into for sure. This, your audience does exist. Absolutely. I wouldn't have had you back if it didn't. So it's no, you're doing great, man. And I really am enjoying watching this growth in on all levels. I very much look forward to seeing Elisa, right?
Yes, Elisa.
I don't know why I say Eliza so much. Elisa, she's got such a future, man. This is a style that I could see so many people.
I'm like, I mean, we were talking about like the pace of how I write my scripts. I'm really trying to get my scripts written quickly so that I can work with Elisa, because I've just had this feeling like she's going to get snapped up somewhere, and I'm gonna be like you're not available, oh crap, I gotta find somebody else. Like I really, really want to keep working with her. So I'm very excited that I found her. She she's actually in Florence, Italy, so we are 11 hours away in time difference.
Is there a language barrier at all, or is she just completely fluent and a baller and has no issues with anything?
Yeah, she's completely fluent and amazing. I did one time have to, for Love at First Bite, the other comic I wrote, I did have to look up the Italian translation of what a hickey is to try to explain what one character was doing to another. but I think that like she figured it out based on context. I didn't necessarily need to like include in my email, like, I think this is the right word, and then like send it to her in Italian. No, she's amazing. She all of our email correspondence has been in English, and all of the crazy run on sentence feedback that I give her is all in English. So
that's awesome, great. Man. I will say one thing. She has a skill that a lot of artists envy, and that's the ability to draw animals. And I mean, a lot of people overlook that as a skill in comics, because, you know, it's not a lot of talking dogs in comics, actually, or animals for that sake. So it's not something a lot of people could do and do well. And it's not like she has to just continuously draw this one dog in stoic poses throughout the entire. I mean, you put her in a universe of talking dogs. So she gets to really flex, and she could draw a Rottweiler. I mean, automatic. See, here's the thing: automatically drawn in, because the Rottweilers, that's my pooch. So as soon as I saw it, I was like, oh shit! I mean, the first shadow immediately, I was like, that's a fucking Rottweiler. I mean, it's unmistakable. So she, and that's just a silhouette,
Yeah. It was thrilling to get her work. I mean, because of the time difference, I was getting it early in the morning. And every time I opened my email and saw an attachment from her, I was just like, oh man, this is so exciting. It's so great. I mean, especially because that was the first page that you're talking about that Logan the Rottweiler first appears on. And just seeing that silhouette, you know, even in pencils the first time, and then seeing him on page two, it was thrilling. It was so exciting. And you know, she's great at animals, but I think that like her strongest, or one of her strongest things is facial expressions, not just on the humans but on the dogs. And I'm so blown away by how emotive everybody is, and not just the main characters but the background characters at very far distances or very close to the viewer. You know, there's a scene at a crowded kind of barter market, flea market kind of thing in the book, and you know, I don't say like, hey, like, there's one person standing over here, there's one person there, there's another dog. I'm just like, crowd, there's a crowd around, and she just nails it. She just nails it, like with all the background stuff, and I'm so impressed by that.
Yeah, I'm looking at the just the character art And she flexes in the facial expressions and just those six images, man, from Caprica to Schneider. I mean, it shows it all, everything from smug to happy to I mean, all of it. On a dog, a smug dog. I mean, she did it, and she nailed it. And then a stoic, all in the same. I mean, in this, it's
Yeah,
incredible.
there's a panel in that section where the Brown Lab, I can't remember the character's name, is walking away angrily, and it's just like I remember getting that panel back from him. I'm like, wow, like perfect. Like no notes. Let's move on to color.
That sure does make it easy.
Yeah.
Oh, score, man. No, you scored for sure. You got another hit here. I can't wait to see the collected edition of For Molly and then Into the Wilderness being thrown in there. Do you at this point do you have more goals for, like I said, more one shots in this universe?
Yeah.
Awesome.
Well, actually, not necessarily in this universe. I
Okay.
might. I might. I have some other things I want to try out. I have some other stories that have been kind of kicking around in my head that I want to get out, that I want to give Ben a break drawing dogs because, as you said, it's very difficult.
On the cats.
Cats and birds, and then maybe a dinosaur in there.
I just give them snakes, man. Make it
Yeah, what's more emotive than a snake?
right.
For Molly, it might be a while before I come back to that universe after Chapter 4 wraps.
Okay.
But yeah, as far as what I'm doing next, it's I'm focusing on doing a bunch of one shots, a bunch of short stories, and then collecting those into a short story anthology of my own. So I've got a bunch of really cool 13 to 16 page scripts written that I'm going to be producing with either Lisa or Ben or maybe another artist if one of those two is unavailable, and creating a like I said, a short story anthology of my own that I'm very, very excited about, that this is the second of six short stories that's going to be part of that. The first one being Love at First Bite.
Awesome, man. Awesome. That's exciting. I'm one of those people that I'm okay with something good ending for a while. I mean, especially when we know that you're going to be working on something new. I like For Molly. I like this universe, but to know that you have this whole new, I don't know, set of short stories to deliver. I'm all about that as well. So it's good to know that you're, oh man, you're here to create, man. You gave up teaching to do this. So it's good to know that you're putting that to good use. I'm loving this, man. I'm loving everything you're doing. I wanna ask, with Into the Wilderness, you do smaller campaigns. You're doing a 14-day campaign. Normally 30 days is the standard. What drives you to do the 14-day campaigns? Does it allow you more opportunities on Kickstarter? How does that work?
I think that my motivation for doing a 14-day campaign is just is namely a content thing. It's also, like I said, I really, after the last For Molly, or even really before the last For Molly campaign, I was just so worried about hitting kind of a high mark, and the 30-day or 31-day, whatever it was, just dragged on forever. And it was so anxiety inducing. And so the doing the shorter campaigns, the smaller campaigns, the one shots is really, like I said, kind of going to war with the army that I have, not the army that I want. The 2 week thing, it's as much a mental health thing as it is anything else, where I was like pulling my hair out during those 4 weeks when there was no movement in the backers or increase in the numbers, or sometimes it went backwards and I was freaking out, and my brother was getting like 100 text messages of me freaking out, and he'd have to talk me off the ledge. And but it's also like a content thing where during that last Four Molly campaign, I had things planned for the first week and then the third week and fourth week. So that second week, I was like, what am I doing? Like, why do I have this extra 7 days in here? Like, what is the point of this? Like, I didn't plan any new, you know, podcasts that I was going to do or be on, or I didn't plan any videos that I was going to make and put out. I didn't have any like new art to put out. I was like, why did I spend this 4 days just being anxious? So, taking all that into account, taking into account that it is a shorter story, that it is raising for a smaller goal. I had a great deal of success on the last campaign that was only 14 days. That was Love at First Bite. And so, you know, get in quick, get out quick, and just and jam pack that time in there with as much cool stuff as possible. As far as I'm for this one, I'm going to be doing like a behind the scenes video. We're going to be talking about like what it's like to do page creation. I'm going to be doing an announcement for the final stretch goal. Doing an episode of my own podcast where my brother and I are going to talk about the book, just having content planned, and try not to drag it out too long.
Awesome. Awesome. You know, I like the fact that you brought up, you know, a shorter campaign is for the sake of mental health, because you are not the first person, and I know you're not going to be the last person to tell me how stressful these campaigns are. Yeah. You know, Kickstarter comes at a price. It really does. You take a beating mentally. I watch so many people just stress the hell out and just want to give up, but at the same time, with resilience and persistency, those you know, 10-day lulls can pay off in the end. People are lazy and they procrastinate. We're American humans. This is what we do. But at the same time, why draw that procrastination out when, you know, like, if you can put the ending as close to the beginning as possible, knowing that you're still going to get that. I like that idea quite a bit. So you have stretch goals planned as well with this. I see that you have family getting in. Is this family of yours? Awesome. So stretch goals at a certain point, who in your, is this your sister?
Yeah, this is my sister.
Your sister. Izzy Chang has some art that she's going to deliver to us. And I say is going to, because I don't doubt that you're going to hit these stretch goals.
Thank you.
You know, I'm pulling up her Twitter profile here. I kind of want to see.
Oh, you gotta jump on her Instagram.
Insta. Okay.
That's where most of her art stuff goes on now. She does a lot of watercolor gouache work. And does more digital for when I ask her to do stuff for my Kickstarters. But yeah, she and I are on kind of similar journeys, where she is trying to do more. She set up an Etsy shop. She is doing more art stuff on her Instagram, which is Izzy Chang Art, IZZYCHENG. Mm-hmm. And yeah, it's been, she's worked with me on all of my Kickstarter campaigns, doing art in some form or another. And this one, she did a magnet design and she did a sticker design, both of which are the main character, Caprica.
I'm here on the Instagram now, and this is gorgeous. I gotta say, this is like David Mack, if you will. I don't know if you're familiar with David Mack, but he's...
Did he do those...
Alias those... with Brian Michael
yes,
Bendis?
Yes, man. Exactly. The Jessica Jones covers.
Yeah,
yeah.
Man. Yeah, David Mack is a beast. As soon as I saw this, I was like, "Ah, oh, shit, she's got something. This is great. I love this."
Yeah, I'm very lucky that she's related to me, because very soon she's going to be out of my price range. Like, I just have that feeling. So she's another one that I'm trying to hold on to for as long as possible before she blows up. This is like Elisa and Ben.
This is incredible, man. Do you come from an artistic family?
Honestly, all of my my siblings are my brother's not artistic, and he'll admit that himself. He's a computer engineer, he's a software engineer. So, but there is an element to all of my siblings, like the most common denominator is that we are creators. My brother builds things, you know, I write things, my sister paints and draws things. So there is kind of a through line of making things. And it comes from my parents a little bit both. They're both kind of, my mom was, you know, loves the piano and she loves to kind of interact in art in that way. My dad also did a little bit of art when he was younger. But it really has flourished with my siblings. And, you know, so I don't know if I would say that we're necessarily like an artistic family, but all of us like love art, love that kind of like engaging in different medias, whether it's art or music or whatever. And we all love to make things, and it's like, it's our joy in life. Our passions are all just about like building and making. So I, like I said, I'm really glad that I get the opportunity to do that with Izzy on all my Kickstarters, and she's just done some great, great stuff. And actually now, not now, but like for the last couple of Kickstarters, my brother and I have done podcasts, you know, talking about them, where he interviews me about what's going on kind of in the Kickstarter, because we've done a podcast together for the last couple of years. And it's a joy of making, and we get satisfaction out of that.
It's awesome. I don't come from a family of creators at all. I'm the black sheep. Nobody in my family has a creative bone in them. So I envy being able to. I would be so cool to go up to a brother like, hey man, paint this for me. I'm doing something. You know, I mean, oh, that's got to be amazing. Don't take that for granted, man. Don't take that for granted.
No, absolutely not.
And it doesn't look like you are either.
I'm so happy that I'm so happy with the work that she did for one of the main characters, Caprica, is a border collie, and I asked Izzy to do the magnet and the sticker, like I said, and they're both kind of one of them is kind of a cameo where it's just the top part of Caprica. You just see her face, and the other is a full body one, and it has flowers and it has a little sash on it that says Into the Wilderness. It's just like, I'm just so happy with how it looks. And I'm so excited to, you know, to get those made. I mean, and that's one of the things about doing the Kickstarter is I'm so excited. I hope that people are as excited as I am to get the stuff that I make, because the rewards that I make are things that I actually want to, you know, be able to hold and possess and things like that. So I hope that resonates with backers.
Yeah, no, I see the magnets here, and they really are gorgeous, man. The pearlescent type of sheen. It's just, it's beautiful.
Yeah.
It's beautiful.
Yeah, that they're I don't know why, but they're called holographic magnets. It's not like a hologram, but they're called holographic, where it's kind of a mirror shape,
okay,
not
gotcha.
Like super reflective. I'm really excited for that. It's my first time doing that as a Kickstarter reward. I'm really excited for that one, and I think that Izzy's design just looks amazing.
Yeah, no, she nailed it. She nailed it. What else is there with End of the Wilderness to talk about other than go out and get it? The launch date is, let's see here.
March 17th.
March 17th, that's right. And you're doing a 14-day
yeah.
campaign.
Snyder Cut Eve.
Oh, man. When everybody's bogged down and can't get on HBO...
Yeah, exactly.
Head on over to Kickstarter.
I gotta do that as a headline for one of my social media posts. Can't get on HBO right now?
Yep.
Head over to Kickstarter. Plenty of comic stuff going on over there.
Yeah, man. Oh, plenty. This is the some of the cream of the crop, though, man. This is good stuff. I'm excited. You definitely have my pledge. I'm trying to hit back now, but it's a ghost link. I'm just sitting here getting teased. For whatever reason, on the first day you don't see my back, it's because I think in my head I've already done it because I'm here at the page. So make sure that you remind me.
Either that or you're busy watching the Snyder Cut. I understand.
I'll be
watching it. Never mind. No. Then I'll know.
I'm gonna wait for everybody's reaction and then I'm gonna do it because I'm one of those people that just doesn't care. You know,
right.
I don't hate on it, but I just don't care. So, I'm more interested in everybody's reaction because I think that the trolls are the funniest. So, that's what I'm looking forward to the most.
It's true. That's how I felt about Tiger King, where like watching it was fun, but the reactions and the memes were the most fun part of Tiger King. Like going on the Tiger King Reddit, or you know, clicking on the hashtags for Twitter was the best part of Tiger King, was how people reacted to it, because it was so funny.
Mm-hmm. No, I'm one of those people. I'm right there with you. Man, this has been a pleasure again, Gabe. I'm so happy to have you on. It's awesome to see you leveling up. I can't wait to back this project.
I appreciate it, man.
I
appreciate you having me on, and I'm really, it's a pleasure to see like how much your show has grown, like how many episodes you've done, and like some of the incredible guests that you're getting on, like, and doing really great interviews. To get ready for this, I listened to your interview with Curtis Clow, who, you know, is just killing it on Kickstarter, as you guys talked about. It's just, I'm really happy that your show has taken off as well.
I appreciate that. I do. I just love this, man. I believe in the product. I believe in this industry. So I'm putting everything I have into it. I don't know. I feel like my energy is only as limited as my love when it comes to this shit. So I'm not gonna stop. I'm not gonna stop. I don't want you to stop either, man. I'm loving what you're doing.
Thanks.
This is great stuff. Remember, people, check out For Molly if you can. Summertime, it seems, or late spring-ish. We've got the final issue.
Yeah, final issue will be in summer. But I do want to mention, like, even though we've talked about how Into the Wilderness is good for readers that haven't necessarily read For Molly, as part of the campaign, when we hit the backer goal, the every backer at every level gets digital versions of For Molly for free. That's one of the stretch goals. So people that contribute to Into the Wilderness, if they haven't read For Molly, will be able to get that in order to read it as part of, you know, the whole experience of getting into the wilderness. But you don't have to read it in order to enjoy it, or at least that's the official position of Brian Wayne, which is what I appreciate.
No, and it's the truth. It really is. I sense the connection only because of familiarity, but at the same time, very, very wonderfully contained. I really wish that we can go through and just dissect the shit out of this and spoil it, but I'm not gonna do that. There's some amazing, amazing scenes within 17 pages that are just, man, it's good stuff. It's good stuff. So I
thank you. I mean, Elisa really nailed the action in it. There's not a huge bombastic kind of set pieces in there, but she like the parts of it that are that have a lot of tension, that have a lot of movement. There's a fight that's hand to hand, that I was really, really happy with how she illustrated.
I'm so pleased with this. All right. Well, shit. All we can do now is wait for this thing to show up in our hands. The book's already done. What kind of, once it's funded, how long after printing and shipping do you think before we can expect it to be delivered?
I'm hoping for my for Love at First Bite, which was a similar situation where all the pages were done before I did the Kickstarter. I got it turned around in about 6 weeks and sent out. I have to collect everybody's pledges and collect everybody's names for the for those people that elect to be on the thank you page of the comic, and get that off to the printer. And that you have a 2-week grace period after a Kickstarter wraps, when people can can respond or can respond with their pledges and respond with on the surveys and stuff. But as soon as that is all done, yeah, like you said, the pages are ready to go. I'll send them off to the printer and get them back as soon as possible. So I think that that Love at First Bite was about a 6-week turnaround from the end of the campaign. And then it won't be too long after that, hopefully, that For Molly Part 4 will start up.
Cool. I think 6 weeks is a very reasonable turnaround time for sure. I mean, I've had books out at CGC for 12 weeks now, and waiting for comics, it's just a thing we have to do now. 6 weeks is nothing. So
yeah.
I'm excited for this, Gabe. I thank you again for all of your time. It's good to know that we could talk twice and still fill damn near an hour. You know, that's how I know you're doing good shit.
Thanks, man. I appreciate it.
Anytime, man. Anytime. Social media. You want to tell people where to find you on social media, real quick?
At Gabe Chang Comics. GABECHENG. Comics, and that's also the name of the website, and you can find For Molly at For Molly Comic on Facebook. You can also go to formollycomic.com, which redirects to Gabe Chang Comics anyway, and then just go to Kickstarter, search Into the Wilderness, and we will be there from March 17 to 31.
Hell yeah, and if you listen to the first podcast, we talked all about how badass another lousy millennium is, his podcast, so follow that as well. I'll plug it for you if you're not gonna. No
thanks,
shame
I
man.
Totally forgot, which I feel bad about. Yeah, almpod.com. We are about to finish up all of the episodes of Futurama, and we are doing what we're calling a victory lap, quote unquote, where we are doing some kind of listicle episodes. We're talking about our favorite bad guys and our favorite one-off characters, cameos, things like that. So, I've been doing that for a couple of years, and it's been really fun.
Badass, man. All right, Gabe. Well, you stay safe out there, man. And as always, if you need anything, you know where to find me.
Thanks, man. You too.
All right, brother. Well, I can't wait till the next time. Cheers, brother.
Cheers.
All right, there you go. Episode 295 done, wrapped up in the books. Another creator has been cornered. Gabe Chang, like I said, there's a reason I had him back a second time. For Molly was something, but this Into the Wilderness is something else. Dig the hell out of it. I really do. So make sure you do not sleep on this book. Head on over to Kickstarter, search Into the Wilderness by Gabe Chang. You are, this is good stuff. So, thanks for tuning in. Now remember, do your due diligence. If you've made it this far, then it is your duty, if you have not done so yet, to support this podcast. After you're done supporting Into the Wilderness on Kickstarter, you head on over to iTunes, where you probably already are, according to analytics. I don't know. If you do not listen on iTunes, though, the extra effort is that much more appreciated. Let me know you made the effort in the review, too. And I'll let it be known to everyone else how badass you are. But 5-star reviews are the only kind I allow. So there you go. That's going to do it. 295, all wrapped up. Hey, I've got nothing else for you. Remember, as always, I command that you stay safe and read responsibly. Cheers, fuckers.
Hi, you're listening to Cheers to Comics podcast.
This is Mark Russell, and you're listening to the Cheers to Comics podcast.
Hey, everyone, I'm Monty Michael Moore, and this is the Cheers to Comics podcast with Brian Wayne.
This is Drew Zucker. You're listening to Cheers to Comics podcast.